Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. It's not a tuition hike, but there is a new charge this semester affecting Swarthmore College students, as well as faculty and staff. Let's learn more with Aurora Winslade, the college's Director of Sustainability, and Swarthmore Vice President for Finance and Administration, Greg Brown. Aurora, Greg, welcome to NewsWorks Tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Greg, first one to you. We want to make sure that it's not any kind of new fee for students, faculty, and staff. We're talking about a carbon charge. How does it work?
Well, the carbon charge is a budget mechanism, but what it's really doing is raising awareness and raising funds. So we are charging each department on campus an assessment essentially against their carbon use, and then taking that and using it for carbon and sustainability projects, as well as educational projects on campus that will help the students with making the campus more hands-on as a greening campus.
Aurora, tell us more about the campus being more hands-on. I understand Swarthmore is one of the first to take this route, although it's relatively or increasingly popular in the business sector.
We are. We're among a small group of institutions who are setting an internal price on carbon. And we're doing that both because there's a lot of work to be done on our campus in reducing our greenhouse gas emissions. And this, as Greg said, provides us with a fund to finance those projects. But it's also an educational opportunity, because if we can put a price on carbon nationally, internationally, it represents one of the main paths forward for rapidly reducing greenhouse gas emissions that we know we need to reduce.
And so, Greg, how is that internal price set?
Well, the price is set based on the size of the budget for now, but as we implement it, we're going to start looking at carbon usage. So, for example, our admissions office travels a great deal. Their carbon footprint is a lot different from Aurora's or mine, who are on campus most of the time. So we're starting to think about what people's impact is. So a science lab also is more expensive to run than a dormitory room. So starting to come up with pricing that comes off of that makes a lot of sense, and it raises awareness in a really positive way.
Initially, though, this rate is set, I believe, at 1.25% for each department?
That's right.
How was that number picked?
What we did was we looked at trying to recover about $300,000 to $400,000. So that number came out of the need to pull in that dollar figure as a starting point.
And then what happens with the accrued funds?
The accrued funds are going into a central committee-run process where we'll be entertaining proposals for things that are both studying ways to change carbon, but more importantly, actually having an impact. Because one of the things we hear from our students is they want to see action. And as much as we're building green buildings, it's hard for them to see those workings. So what we really want to do is have a very open process about how the money gets spent.
How far do you go in calculating a department's carbon charge?
We do a greenhouse gas inventory, and there's a sort of standard accounting practices that we follow. When you're doing a greenhouse gas inventory and you're really getting granular about your carbon emissions, you look at scope 1 emissions are emissions that are generated on site. Scope 2 emissions are things like purchased electricity. And scope 3 emissions then are going to be the things like air travel and embodied carbon in products. And so anything that has carbon emissions in it falls into one of these three scopes. And so we look at scope 1, scope 2, and we try to capture scope 3 emissions. So things like purchases and goods do fall under scope 3. They're very hard to get at. And really, there's some tools. Carnegie Mellon has a tool for trying to really calculate the embodied carbon in a given product. It's much easier when you're looking at fuel, electricity, things that we have very detailed numbers on, and we know what our fuel mix is, we know where our electricity comes from, and we can actually get quite granular in terms of our emissions. So
Right. That's
we do an annual carbon inventory.
And I think by sharing more of the data that goes with that, and I think that's something that most of us don't do a good job of, pushing that data back to the department to say, well, you know, actually, compared to other dormitories, your usage is high, so you should set a goal, and we work with you to set a goal. So I think that the carrot and stick piece of this really does play into getting the information out there so that people have a metric to measure from. And I don't think we've done a good job of that in the past. So I think this carbon charge is going to help us enormously with that.
There's also an interesting question here, which is how much of the emissions are something that an individual department or an individual staff or faculty member has control over, versus how much are decided based on what sort of facilities we provide them with as an institution. So we do have to find a balance between infrastructure projects, for example, putting solar panels on the buildings, we're putting geothermal wells in right now. things that are going to reduce our emissions that aren't the individual decisions but are campus-wide decisions versus do you choose to take a trip that you maybe could instead Skype into, or do you choose to buy food from further away? How do you choose to get to campus? Is it car? Is it public transportation? So there's a balance of individual or departmental level decisions and larger institutional questions that come with larger investments.
Greg Aurora is hinting at this taking on kind of a critical mass and expanding at least throughout academia. Apparently, Yale and Vassar are doing some aspects of these programs already. Were you in touch with them, or are you in turn informing other Philadelphia region schools about how they might like to undertake a similar venture?
So we've taken a look at what Yale has done. Yale, actually, I think, is probably the main leader in this. Yale also happens to be a lot larger than we are. So
yes, they do.
Their administrative bureaucracy is very different from ours. And so in looking at their model, we liked a lot of the core concepts, for example, the carbon price. But we just saw that the bureaucracy that would go at Yale doesn't work at Swarthmore. Vassar is a little bit behind us at this point. They started the process earlier than we did, but they're still in, I think they're developing it. But what's been really heartening for both Aurora and me in our respective roles is the number of small institutions who've come forward and said, can we get together in 6 months and see how you're doing and learn from you? So I think, you know, when we talk scale, the really nice thing here is that by being a leader here and by sort of taking the chance on doing this in a way that no one else has tried before, we should be in a position to help other institutions, both from our mistakes as well as our successes.
Listeners cannot see Aurora nodding in assent. Aurora, as Director of Sustainability, where would you ideally like to see this program, both for Swarthmore and other Philadelphia regional schools, 1 to 5 years out?
I would like to see, like we've seen in the corporate sector, increasing numbers of schools taking a lead in setting these internal carbon prices and educating the community about carbon pricing. It's been one of the most exciting things for me in my role. I've been in sustainability for more than 14 years.
In academia?
Mostly in academia, a little bit in private sector. And as I've been learning about carbon pricing through this project, I've become increasingly excited about the potential that this has to make a rapid difference. So I think academia is the perfect place to help explore the details of why this could work, what it would look like, and how we do it. So to that end, we're partnered with the Pennsylvania Environmental Resource Consortium. We'll be working with them to collaborate on a workshop in January for schools, colleges, and universities across the state to begin to further explore this question specifically of what does internal carbon pricing at colleges and universities look like. We're also working with a professor from Stanford who's written articles about how academia should take a lead in carbon pricing, Frank Wolak. And we're going to be on a panel with Vassar and Yale in Baltimore in October at the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education's National Conference, again, talking about this very question of what is the role of academia in carbon pricing.
Let's follow that excitement that you just expressed. And a question to both of you, is there also a potential dividend for students who then graduate and go on and back into their or other communities in terms of what this informs them and how they would like to see their next ventures participate?
I'll start that with an absolutely. I think that to the extent that our students get engaged in this in a positive way, one of the goals we really have as an institution is to create good citizens of the world. And I think this is a great way to spread that throughout the globe, actually, given our relatively small but potent impact as an institution. I just feel that having students go through this process, they can think about how to apply it in other organizations and other governmental organizations and in the private sector.
Aurora, does that apply to faculty and staff as well?
It's been amazing to see how this new policy has already created an opportunity for rich discussion and how fascinated people are when you start to dig into the details. And really important questions come up like, well, if we put a price on carbon and that increases the cost of fuel, how does that impact lower income citizens? And, you know, for example, one option with what to do with the revenue generated by a price on carbon would actually be to return it to citizens in the form of a dividend. And that could actually have a positive economic benefit, create jobs, and protect most people would actually get more in a dividend check than they would spend through the increased cost of fuel and other products. It brings up questions of international trade and, well, how would you adjust for a price of carbon that the U.S. might put if other countries don't have a similar price? So it offers a rich area of study for students from any discipline. And we're finding that there's increasing recognition that this is one of the defining issues of our time. So giving students the chance to be hands-on in finding the answers to how we solve these problems actually does prepare them for the real world. It prepares them for jobs, and it gives them a leg up for their next endeavor.
And so, Aurora, Greg, thank you for bringing this rich conversation on an important topic to our listening audience. Thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Aurora Winslade, Swarthmore College's Director of Sustainability, and Greg Brown, Swarthmore Vice President for Finance and Administration.